A godly man wants to grow, and he wants to succeed in his life, and he wants to be what God wants him to be.
Do you realize that as a believer, you have great influential power? Your life affects everyone you come in contact with. But what is your life saying? Can your family and friends see Christ in your life? Jesus made it clear that we're to influence our society like salt. We're to season every relationship with the gospel. And like light, we're to dispel the darkness with the good news. In short, we're to be a godly influence on everyone we meet. Today on the Wednesday edition of In Touch, Charles Stanley challenges you to examine your life. Do you exhibit the character of a godly man? Though this message is directed primarily to the men in our audience, the principles outlined today are applicable to every believer. Now, here's Charles Stanley's message, a challenge that will draw you in touch with Jesus Christ.
One of the most desperate needs of our day is godly men. Men who will be godly in their homes, men who will be godly on their jobs, men who will be godly among their friends and their pleasures in life, men who hold positions of authority across this land to be men who are godly in character. In fact, in the book of Ezekiel, listen to what God says. He said, at a time when evil was rampant among the people of God, I searched for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. And in our land today, we know that sin is rampant, the family is breaking down, and while there are many good things going on, little by little, the very foundations of this nation are crumbling. The greatest, most desperate need that we have is godly men who will live out their godliness in their home, on their job, among their friends, their whole life to be characterized by godliness. Now you say, well, but what is a godly man like? Well, that's what I'm going to talk about in this message, the character of a godly man. And there are many passages of Scripture that we could put together and say, well, a godly man has this characteristic here in this book of the Bible and here. But if there is one passage in all the Bible that best sums them all up, here it is in the very first Psalm. So I want you to turn, if you will, to Psalm 1, and let's look at the character of a godly man. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. That's the character of a godly man. Now, he switches, beginning in verse 4, and he says, this is the opposite. Here's the way the ungodly, the wicked live. And he says, the wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Now let's begin with a foundation of this godly life, which always begins with a person having received the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That's the bottom line of the building of all godliness, that a person receives Christ as their personal Savior, and upon that foundation of being a believer, a godly life is built. And in this passage, I think, here are the characteristics that you and I would look for in a godly man. So I want you to jot them down. I'm going to give you 9. We might could come up with one or two more if we divided these verses, but let's begin with this one. In the very first verse, he says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. So in the first 3 verses, he puts it in the negative, and he says, now, a godly man doesn't do this. But I want to put it in the positive, and that is, a godly man orders his life after the counsel of the godly. A godly man orders his life after the counsel of the godly. That is, not only does he seek the Lord's mind, but when he wants advice, where does he go? He doesn't just go to the world seeking advice. He goes to those men in whose life he has seen the qualities of godliness. He has seen the spirit of Christ-likeness. And any godly man wants to be wise. And godly men are wise, and a wise man is going to be godly. He's going to be careful from whom he seeks advice. So you think about in your own life, the last person you sought advice from, was that person godly? Did you see the principles and the qualities in their life that you want in your life? Listen, for us to go to someone else and ask for advice, and we see principles and actions and habits and conduct in their life that we don't want in our life, that is very unwise. A godly man orders his life after the counsel of the godly. That's where he gets his advice. The second thing that's here, verse 1, nor does he stand in the path of sinners. And this is a degenerating thing. And so neither does he fraternize with sinners. Now, what I want you to jot down is this, and that is a godly man seeks companionship with fellow believers, not the lost. Now, I want to explain that. A godly man seeks companionship with fellow believers, not the lost. It does not mean that he cannot relate to lost people. It does not mean that he cannot have friends among them. It does not mean that he's not to share his faith. But I'm talking about seeking companionship, that is, an intimate relationship. Now, here's what I want you to see. A godly man knows that his life and his influence is going to rub off on someone else. But a godly man also is wise enough to know that even the ungodly have influence, and their life and their influence also rubs off on the people around them. So to think that you and I can become intimate friends and deep companions with someone who is not a Christian and allow their influence to influence us and it not hurt us, we better think twice. Godly men don't build companionships based on position and prosperity, but the quality of the man. The third thing I want you to notice here, he says, nor does he sit in the seat of the scoffers. Now, scoffer is someone who ridicules the Word of God. So, what he's saying, to put this in the positive, that is, a godly man courageously joins himself with those who are committed to defending the truth. A godly man courageously joins himself with those who are committed to defending the truth. Now, I want you to notice this about a godly man. A godly man is not passive. He can't be passive. It doesn't mean that his personality has to be like everybody else's, but he is not passive. You see, a godly man is concerned about the things of God. He's concerned about the reputation of God. He's concerned about the person of Christ. He's concerned about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's concerned about the Word of God. A godly man isn't going to stand silent while the Word of God is ridiculed. Nor is he going to stand by and say nothing when somebody ridicules the church. Well, the church is just a bunch of weak folks who have to get together every week and sort of cheer up each other. That's what it's all about. No, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a part of the body of Christ. And we are together not because we have to be, but because we love the same God and choose to worship and adore and praise Him together. Godly men are not silent men when they need to stand for righteousness and truth. Then if you'll notice what he says in verse 2, he says, but his delight, that is the delight of the godly man, is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Now, you see, a godly man, listen to this carefully now, a godly man gets more enjoyment and encouragement and help out of meditating upon the Word of God than just reading all the other junk that's out there. Or sitting in front of the tube day after day or night after night. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Does that mean that he has to sit and read the Bible every hour he's home? No. Does that mean he should never watch television? No. But it simply means that he is most delighted. That is, the thing that turns him on and excites him and stirs him up and motivates him in his life is the Word of God. Why? Because he's learning the ways of God, and the godly man wants to know that. He wants to know the ways of God. He wants to know how to apply it to his heart. He wants to know how to share it with his family. You open the Bible and say, son, I want you to learn very early in life how to succeed. Whatever God calls you to do, I want you to be a success at it, and I'm going to give you the formula right here. You want the formula for success, son? There's not a boy alive who's going to say, no, I don't want to know how to succeed. Don't pull out the Bible first. Just say, son, do you want to know how to succeed at what you're doing? Whether it's in class, in school, or whatever you're doing in life. Yes, I sure do. Here's the formula. And if you'll think about it, anybody can do it. All it costs you is a little time and concentration. The fifth characteristic I want you to notice here is, it says, and he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. What does that mean? That means that he will successfully stand the storms of life. A godly man will successfully stand the storms of life. Now, why? Well, notice what it says. It says, he is like a tree firmly planted. You see, the roots of a godly man are not those little fine roots that you see on the surface of the ground, but he has a tap root. You know how far down that tap root goes? It goes all the way to Christ. Because you see, a godly man is rooted in Christ. And this is what he says in the Living Bible in chapter 2 of Colossians. Now, just as you trusted Christ the Savior, so trust Him too for each day's problems. Let your roots grow down into Him and draw up nourishment from Him and keep on growing in the Lord. And what happens here, he says, this man, a godly man, is like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, continually being nourished. And you see, water is not only for nourishment and refreshment, but also for cleansing. And so he says, a godly man is a man who's planted, firmly planted in Christ. And you see, a man who is refreshed continually by the Word of God, he can stand all kind of storms in life. Well, notice again, he says, he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit. Listen, yields its fruit in its season. A godly man is a fruitful man. You see, a godly man is more interested in investing his life than spending it. A godly man is not just interested in receiving, he's interested in giving. And so, you see, he's interested in not only how much fruit his life bears, he's interested in the quality of fruit his life bears. And so, you'll notice what it says. It says, which yields its fruit in its season. You see, a godly man is a patient man. He knows that it can't all come at one time. He knows that there are seasons where you plant and where you drop the seed. And then you have to wait. And you have to wait for God's timing. He's a man who's living on God's schedule, waiting for God's timing. Not detoured by all the things that go on and happen. But he says, he bears his fruit in his season when God allows it. He's willing to give of himself and give of himself and give of himself and see nothing. But knowing that because God is faithful, if he gives of himself and gives of himself and gives of himself, there's going to be a time when there's going to be a great time of reaping and fruitfulness. You see, a godly man is looking to the future. He's not just looking at the day. Well, listen to what he says. Its leaf does not wither. His testimony is consistent. When you look at a tree at a distance, what you see first is leaves. You don't see the fruit first. You see the leaves. He says, this godly man has a consistent testimony. When things come along, difficulties, hardship, he didn't just wither up. But what happens? Because he's tapped into the Son of God, and he's being refreshed with the rivers of the living water, the Spirit of God, he can stand the storms, and it makes no difference how hot the winds are that blow. He says his leaf does not wither. His testimony is consistent. That's what a godly man's like. Does that mean he never sins? No. But it means you can count on him. Does it mean he never trips and falls? No. But it means he gets right back up, deals with it, and moves on. His testimony is consistent. And what I want you to see is that every one of these characteristics and qualities all fit together. Well, let's move on. Listen to what he says. He says, and his leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. Listen to that. A godly man, whatever he does, he prospers. He prospers in whatever he does. Why? Because here's what he's doing. He's following the principles of God. And listen, it's just this simple. When you follow the principles of God, what you get is the blessing of God. We honor God by obeying Him. You know what He turns around and does? He honors us by making us a success or prospering what we do. He said in Joshua, you meditate on the Word day and night and do what I tell you. Whatever you do is going to be a success, and I'm going to prosper you. He says, you want to know why God the man is a success? Look what He's doing. He's meditating upon the Word of God. He's soaking it into his heart. And whatever this man does, he says, whatever he does is going to prosper. He says, godly men prosper in whatever they do. Now, here's the reason they do. God is overseeing what they're doing and directing it and protecting it. That's the reason they prosper. Let me give you one other here. And let's go back and notice How blessed is the man, which means how happy and contented is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scoffers. The ninth characteristic I want to give you of a godly man is a contented man. And what do we mean by contentment? He is not harried. He is not anxious. He is not fretting. He is not full of stress. He's learned the key, and the key is this. Having sunk his roots into Christ Jesus and drawing up nourishment from him and the Spirit of God guiding and controlling his life, he's learned not to fret, not to worry, not to be harassed by the circumstances of life. You know what he's learned? He's learned a simple little phrase. Through Christ, I can. Through Christ, I can. Through Christ, I can. He's also learned that as a godly man, he brings the Lord Jesus into all the circumstances of his life. And you see, when you bring God into all the circumstances, and you understand that God is omnipotent and can take care of them all, then why do I have to worry about something that he has assumed responsibility for? You see, a godly man is a happy man. Does that mean that I have to like everything going on around me? No. Does it mean I have to change everything that I don't like? No. Does it mean I have to live with some things I don't like? Yes. But you know what? If Jesus Christ is my Savior, my Lord, my life, my sufficiency for all my needs, and I'm complete in him, then God will equip us to live with some things in life that are difficult. Not only that, we have the right to affirm, and a godly man would certainly say this, I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're meeting all my needs now because your grace is sufficient for me. You see, a godly man is contented. Now, I want you to think about something real serious for a moment, and let's think about what does it take to become a godly person. We said, well, here are the characteristics. Well, we started out by saying the first step is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, to put your trust in him, and that is to accept that his death on the cross paid your sin debt in full, and therefore you're a forgiven child of God. Now, but what about the rest? Do you know what keeps most men from becoming godly men? Let's say that here's a person who's saved, and no doubt in their mind about that. But being a godly man, you know what the biggest problem is? If you want to be a godly man, the first thing you must learn to do is to bend your knees. And to be willing to say to God, Lord, I have really blown it. I've made a mess of things. I need to ask you to forgive me. I thank you for your forgiveness. I humble myself before you. I'm trusting you to give me direction and guidance in my life. You see, you'll never become a godly man until you're willing to humble yourself before the Lord when he brings something to your mind and acknowledge his right to do so and to deal with it. It's amazing the people I've met in my life who had never bend their knee. Well, you don't have to get on your knees. No, you don't really have to. But you know what? A godly man recognizes the holiness of God, and it's no problem for him to get on his knees. You know why a man won't get on his knees? P-R-I-D-E, pride. And God doesn't just make off-the-cuff promises. He says pride will precede a fall, and a fall will follow pride. You want to be a godly man? Are you willing to humble yourself before the Lord God and let him search your heart and deal with whatever he wants to deal with? Well, there's a second step to that. If a man wants to be a godly man and influence the people that he needs to influence, he may have to bend his knee a second time. And this time he may have to say to his wife, honey, I've really blown it. I need to ask you to forgive me. I promise you with all of my heart, as God enables me, I'll be the kind of godly man you want me to be and that God wants me to be and that I know that you've been praying for. Let me ask you a question. Is your family worth saving? Is your family worth saving? You see, a godly man's not prideful. He's willing to deal with whatever is necessary to be the kind of godly influence with his wife and his children. He said, I'm not married. You may have to do it before your parents. Or maybe before someone that you've wronged. However you choose. But I can tell you this. A godly man must be willing to humble himself. And when he does, God honors that. You see, my salvation wasn't cheap. Your salvation wasn't cheap. Nor is our godly character cheap. It cost Christ his life. And remember this, he was crucified almost naked, beaten almost to death. And finally, his hands were driven with spikes, and he died. So you see, getting on my knees before him or before someone else is rather insignificant compared to that. And my challenge to all of you is, listen, give your wife a godly husband. Give your children godly fathers. Give the church godly leaders. Give the nation godly leaders. And you'll be one of those men whom God says, here's one who's building up the walls, who's standing in the gap, who's making a difference in his home, in his church, in his business, and in the land.
If you want to make a difference in your family, your business, or in any activity, then accept Charles Stanley's challenge to develop godly character. Remember that true godliness begins with humility. When you make the decision to humble yourself to God's will, He'll make you instrumental in drawing others in touch with Jesus Christ. One of the greatest needs of the human heart is the need for hope. Hope that things will get better. Hope that change is on the way. The absence of hope produces an unbearable ache. Jesus came to give hope to all who believe in Him. Learn more about how Christ can alter your attitude by reading the In Touch magazine. Through articles written by Charles Stanley, you'll encounter scriptural truth that will help you see circumstances the way God sees them. In addition to the regular articles, there's also a devotional feature that will help you focus your attention on Christ every day. For your free subscription, just ask for the In Touch magazine when you write. Our address is In Touch, in care of Far East Broadcasting Company, MPO Box 88, Seoul, 121707, Korea. Once again, that's In Touch, in care of Far East Broadcasting Company, MPO Box 88, Seoul, 121707, Korea. If you have internet access, you'll want to visit the In Touch website. Just a few of the features you'll find are replays of radio broadcasts on Real Audio, Bible studies that build your faith, and the online bookstore, where you can purchase books, videos, and audio tapes. Visit us on the web at intouch.org. According to Scripture, a father is responsible to provide for his family. But there's more to it than supplying food, shelter, and other material needs. Tune in tomorrow to find out when a father has provided for his family. Touching the World with a Passion for God and Compassion for People. This program is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, USA.